Well, thank you that you want to speak to each one of us through your word, through the Bible, Lord. Please, Lord, open our hearts this morning. As we come before you and open our hearts, Lord, we pray that you would open them even wider, Lord, so that you can speak into our lives. And, Lord, that you'd help us to understand what we're reading this morning. Lord, Holy Spirit, just come and give us insight, Lord, we pray. And, Lord, more than that, we pray that you'd give us, Lord, a fresh outpouring of your Spirit this morning, that we'd be able to put into practice your word in our lives. Help us to apply it to each one of our situations, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've been speaking previously on the introductions to the Gospels, and we looked at Luke, John, and Mark, and there's Matthew to look at, but I'm not going to speak on that this morning because I just feel that God wants me to start a different theme, really, in the new year. So we may come back to Matthew. I have prepared something on Matthew, but I'll bring that another time. Really, what God had put on my heart was the book of Joshua, and Joshua going in and taking the land of Israel, and it was a brand new start for the people of Israel. And I just thought at the start of a brand new year, looking forward to 2014, it's an amazing book, really, to speak into our lives and to get us ready for what God has prepared for us in this coming year. So what I'd like to do is do a series through Joshua. We won't go through the whole of Joshua, but just to do the start of Joshua and do a series of sermons from the book of Joshua. I just want to give a bit of a background. The Israelites had been in captivity in the land of Egypt. They'd gone down there for 400 years. They'd been slaves. And they were sons of Abraham. Abraham had been promised by God many, many descendants. Remember, he tried to have kids and couldn't. And then God kept promising, you're going to have a child, and I'm going to bless him, and I'm going to bless you. You're going to have many kids, and I'm going to give you this land of Israel. Your descendants are going to inherit this land. And it didn't seem to be coming true. And then eventually, God kept his promise. And Isaac was born, the son of promise. And Isaac then had kids, and then his kids had kids, and so on. And they became a great nation, the nation of Israel. But God had also said to Abraham, your descendants are going to be slaves in a foreign nation for 400 years. And that nation turned out to be Egypt. They went down to Egypt, and it was a time of famine. Remember, at the time of Joseph, Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt by his brothers who hated him. But God blessed him and made him second in charge of the whole land of Egypt. But then there was a Pharaoh that was in the land of Egypt later on who didn't know anything about this amazing Joseph guy. And he started to persecute God's people, the Israelites, who were then living in Egypt. And they were enslaved. The children were thrown into the River Nile and killed if they were boys, to stop them from fighting against the Egyptians. And then God raised up this man of God, Moses, to deliver the Israelites from captivity in the land of Egypt. And remember, there was 10 plagues that came against the Egyptians, and particularly against Pharaoh, who kept hardening his heart against God and saying, I won't let your people go. Then eventually we had the plague of the firstborn, the death of the oldest son. And that's what made Pharaoh change his mind and say, yes, you can go. And not only did he say they could go, but he said to the Israelites, you can even take riches with you. Just get out of here. We don't want to see you again. Well, we know that Pharaoh then hardened his heart and went after the Israelites. And they came to the Red Sea, and God led the Israelites through the Red Sea, and then it closed in on the Egyptian army. And so God delivered in an amazing way the Israelites. They came then to the land that God had promised them, the land of Israel. The land of Israel was ruled then by the Canaanites. It was called Canaan. And the Canaanites were a pretty motley crew, really. One of the things they used to do was to offer their children up as sacrifice to certain gods. There was a god called Molech, and one of the practices of the time was to offer your children up in the fire. So I wouldn't have wanted particularly to live in that culture. And their sin was so great that God had actually said that he was going to judge that whole nation of the Canaanites and spew them out of the land, basically destroy the Canaanites and give their land to the Israelites. So this was the land of Israel that had been promised to the Israelites. They'd been slaves, they'd been set free from slavery, but now they had some land to inherit. Now, first of all, they tried to go in and inherit the land, and 12 spies were sent in to spy out the land. One of these spies was named Joshua, and there was another guy called Caleb, and they were both men of God. They went in to see the land, and they knew that God had done amazing miracles, brought them through the Red Sea. They knew that God could give them the land, and they came back with a great report. Yes, we can take the land. They brought some grapes back with them, a great big bunch of grapes. It's a great land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God will give us great success. But the other 10 spies came back fearful. Oh, there's giants in the land. We can't do it. We were like grasshoppers in their eyes. We can't do this. They didn't have trust in God, even despite the amazing miracles that God had done in the land of Egypt, in bringing them out of Egypt, in opening up the Red Sea. They had unbelief. And that unbelief spread amongst the camp to the point where everyone panicked and said, we can't do this. And they started getting angry with Moses for bringing them out of Egypt. Why didn't you leave us in Egypt? You know, we had cucumbers in Egypt and all sorts of wonderful things. Why have you brought us out in this wilderness to die? And they were all grumbling. And God was so angry, he said, well, because of what you've done, it's taken 40 days to explore this land of Israel. Because of your unbelief, because you didn't believe I could do it, for 40 years, because of one year for each day it took to explore the land, you're going to wander around as a people group. You're going to wander around in this desert, and the older generation who didn't believe that I could do it, they're all going to die out, basically. The men that are over the age of 20 that are the fighting men, that whole generation will die out, and the kids then will go in to inherit the land. And only Joshua and Caleb will still be alive to go in and take this land, because they were the only two spies who believed that I could do it. This came true, and Joshua was one of these 12 spies who was still alive, and Caleb was still alive. And Moses was leading the people. Moses got angry with God in front of all the people, and then God said, well, you can't go into the promised land. Joshua is going to lead the people in to take the promised land. So that's where we come into the story of the book of Joshua, right at the start. We're about to go into the promised land of Israel, the second time that they're about to go in, and we're going to read from Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. So if you'd like to turn to the book of Joshua, it's one of the early books of the Bible. There's 5 books of Moses, and then there's the book of Joshua. And we're going to read through the whole of chapter 1 of Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half-tribe of Manasseh, to them Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you. And they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God has given to them. And you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Hallelujah. So I'm going to bring out three important encouragements that the Lord gave to Joshua just as he's just about to start this plan of God, this great new venture. And just as we come to a brand new year, three things that we can apply to our lives, which Joshua had to learn. The first thing was this. Moses had handed the baton on to Joshua, and he was now dead. And so Joshua had to accept his responsibility for the things that God was calling him to do. So the first point is this. We need to commit to our responsibilities. Let's just have a read of verse 2. This is what God says to him. Moses, my servant, is dead. That couldn't mean very, very encouraging for him, could it really, when you think about it? Just about to do something amazing. He knew that Moses had died. He was probably grieving, probably really, really sad that Moses was gone, this great man of God. And God states the obvious. Moses, my servant, is dead. Maybe God would say to us today, 2013 is dead. 2014 is here to stay. Don't look back to 2013 wishing it was going to happen again. Or don't look back to any other era or age. Look forwards to the coming year. Take possession of that which I'm calling you to take possession of. I wonder what the things are that God is telling you and telling me to take possession of this coming year. He wants us to take those responsibilities with both hands, not to neglect them, not to pretend that they're not there, but to really go for them in this coming year. It's an exciting time. It was an exciting time for Joshua, but it was scary. And God was saying, come on, don't be looking back, be looking forwards, take on your responsibilities. Moses must have been a great leader. Well, he was a great leader. He was very humble. He could hear what God was saying, and he was willing to act on whatever God said. And now the baton was in Joshua's hands. I wonder what the things are that God is calling you to do that maybe cause you to be a bit fearful, that you think, well, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I've got the guts to do that. I don't know if I could ever be such and such a person. Well, you can't be someone else, but as we've heard this morning already, you can be the person that God has created you to be. What are the responsibilities he's saying to you? Come on, start to grow in this area. Start to move forwards in this area. He doesn't want us to stagnate. He doesn't want us to stand still. And he didn't want Joshua to stand still. You know, so often we want God to bless us, don't we? Do you want God to bless you in this coming year, 2014? We want the blessings of God. But, you know, just as Spider-Man was told, with great power comes great responsibility. I think it was Spider-Man, was it? Or was it somebody else? Was it Superman? They're probably all told that, I think, aren't they, in these movies? Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. If we want to have great blessing, with great blessing also comes great responsibility. You look at any blessing in your life, if you want to be blessed in a certain area, whatever area you want to be blessed in, I can assure you there's going to be certain responsibilities that's going to come with that blessing. Think about when we had our first child. What a blessing that was, taking Rachel out of the hospital. Yeah, God blessed us with our first child. But as you're carrying that baby in the little cradle out from the hospital, you're in the lift, you're suddenly realizing the responsibility that's squarely on your shoulders as you put the baby in its car seat for the first time. You think, wow, carry it out. You try not to drop this little bundle as you're walking over the car park. As you open the car door, and as you, for the first time ever, put those straps on that baby seat, thinking, oh, have I done this right? How does this work? Suddenly that responsibility hits you. It's a blessing, but with great blessing comes great responsibility. And we can apply this to any areas of our lives. Every blessing we've ever had, we've realized the responsibilities of it. Now, in this coming year, we've already seen last year some growth in the church, and we bless God for that. But with great blessing comes great responsibility. As we have new people coming in, becoming Christians, growing, we need people to help out with new people that don't know the ropes. They're just learning the ropes. Maybe you can help someone who's new to the church feel more at home. Maybe you can help someone who's new to the church learn the basics. You know, teach them what you know. We've all got something to pass on to one another and to be used in the kingdom of God. We want to grow, don't we? We want to see many more people in Bryn Mawr and the surrounding areas coming to know Jesus. But if that's going to happen, if God suddenly gave us an influx of many new Christians, there's going to be a lot of responsibility on us to teach them, to help them to grow. So as we're praying, Lord, bless me, bless my family, let's also be like Joshua, not neglecting responsibility, but actually saying, Lord, what are the responsibilities that come with this blessing? And Lord, I'm willing to take on that responsibility. I'm willing to take on new responsibilities in this coming year, because I actually want to be obedient to what you want, God, and to not neglect things. You know, as Christians, we've got responsibilities in different areas. We've got responsibilities for our own growth as well as for the growth of others. So a little bit of a challenge, really. It's our responsibility for spiritual disciplines. And by that, what do I mean? I mean times of prayer with God, spending time with the Lord, spending time reading the Bible, spending time with one another, fellowship. These are all areas where we're going to grow in as Christians. If we want to grow as Christians, we need to spend time together. We need to commit. I'd say to a small group is a great way of growing in God. We might say, Lord, please bless me in my growth in this coming year with you. But if we're not willing to commit to one another and not willing to commit to his church, we're only going to grow so much. Because we're meant to grow together, and it's together, really, that we go through our times of testing. You're stealing all our purses, did you say? Did you say you want all our wallets and handbags? How are your spiritual disciplines at the minute? Are you growing in God? Or have you stopped in the last year? God wants us to rekindle that fire. He wants us to grow in this coming year. But in order for that to happen, we need to take on responsibility. You know that they say that the way that we think affects our character. Because the way we think, our thought processes, what we believe, as we think about what we believe, it becomes habitual, doesn't it? We have a thought pattern that becomes a habit. Those thought patterns then become behavior. And then behaviors become our character. What person do you want to be in 2014? Whatever person you want to be in this coming year, it needs to start with a decision. Lord, this is what I want to be. This is what I want to do. This is the person I want to be. Lord, please help me to make that decision right now. To start going for it. As we make that decision right now, that decision will become a thought process. If we keep that up, it will become a habit, a habitual thought process. It will become actions, and then it will become our character. So what are the things that God is saying right now? Start to deal with. Start to change in this area. Start to put a new habit into your life. for me and for you. I want to suggest that reading the Bible is a basic. That hunger for God's word. Prayer is a basic. Fellowship is a basic. If we're going to grow in this coming year, there's responsibilities, just as Joshua had responsibilities. So that's the first thing that God challenged Joshua about, was his responsibilities. The second thing that God challenged him about was his courage. God wanted Joshua to be full of courage. Let's have a little look, shall we? In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Before I came to Wales, I was in a great big meeting called Spring Harvest. Some of you have heard of Spring Harvest. It's a great big holiday camp, and it's great. It's like being in heaven for a week. You're with thousands of Christians praising and worshiping God, and it's wonderful. And during that time, there was a meeting that I was in. I was one of the young people at the time. Hard to believe now, I know, with the grey hair. But in one of these meetings, this was before we moved to Wales. My parents were about to move to Wales, and I was thinking, Lord, are you calling me to move to Wales? And I went forward in the meeting, and they said, if you're moving to a new area, or you feel God's calling you somewhere else, or you're not sure, come forwards. And I went forwards in obedience to God prompting me. And I said, I really think that God is calling me to go to Wales with my family. And, you know, I was only a young person at the time, so how I could have stayed there on my own, I don't know. But this guy came up to me and he said, I feel that God is saying to you what he said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And he said, in Joshua chapter 1, God says it 3 times, be strong and courageous. Now, when God speaks, it's got to be important if God's going to speak into our lives. We need to obey what God is saying. If he says it again, if he repeats himself, it's got to be pretty important. But if God says something 3 times, it's got to be pretty mega important for God to say something 3 times to somebody. Joshua must have been panicking at this point. He must have been so fearful. Oh, Lord, what are you calling me to do here? And yet God was saying, be strong and courageous. What things cause you to panic about possible things that God could ask you to do in this coming year? Maybe you're feeling a bit like Joshua, panicking about it. And God is saying to you, be strong and courageous. He's going to be with us in this coming year. He's not going to abandon us. He's not going to forsake us. Be strong and courageous. Some of the big changes in our lives. Moving to Wales, for me, was a huge thing. Moving to Bryn Mawr was a huge thing. That was a point of decision, because we were very settled in Abergavenny in the church there. It was a big pioneering thing to decide, yep, God's calling us to move to Bryn Mawr and to plant a church. Becoming a trustee of Seven Corners Youth Cafe in Abergavenny, that scared me, witless at the time. I'd never been a trustee of anything before. What's it going to be like being a trustee? All this responsibility. Anything could happen. And yet I felt God saying, go for it. Getting married. big responsibilities. Yeah, I did, you know, I did mess up at first in terms of panicked about it. I did give in to the fear initially, but then I came to that place where, yes, thank you, Lord, I'm going to commit. But let's be honest, any major decision in our lives, there's a fear factor, isn't there, if we're honest? There's a fear factor. What if I can't keep up my side of the bargain, Lord? What if I can't keep up my level of commitment? What if something goes wrong? Whatever it is that God asks you to do in this coming year, I'm sure there's going to be a certain element of fear. But we need to overcome those feelings, and we need to actually put our trust in God, just as Joshua needed to overcome his fears and put his trust in God. We went away with the youth recently to Longtown, had a great time, and one of the hideous things about it was this. They had a great big climbing tower. Anyone here not like heights, or is it just me? I hate heights. Just the thought of heights, and my hands are getting sweaty, and I'm panicky. And it's even worse because there was a load of young people there, and I was one of the youth leaders, and I was expected to go up and show them how it's done. I was looking up at this thing just disappearing into the sky. Oh, no, no. So they got me all kitted up and everything. I thought, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. But I just thought, let's just do it. Let's get it over and done with. I was shaking all over, but I just got up there and I got it done. And then Reuben, my son Reuben, our son Reuben, he got all kitted up, and he's also fearful of heights. I thought, he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. He was so panicky, but he actually did it. He beat that fear barrier, and he got to the top, and he got down again, and he's still alive today. It's amazing. And you feel that sense of achievement. I did it. I did it. I did it. You know what? God wants you to feel that this coming year about so many different areas that you thought you could never do. You never dreamed you could break that fear barrier, and yet he'll give you the courage. If you're willing to trust in him, to open up your heart to him, he'll give you the courage. He won't abandon you. He'll be with you in that situation. And you'll do things this coming year you could never dream you could ever do. You know, when I was going up that wall, I was shaking in my boots, but I still did it. Courage isn't the absence of fear, really, when you think about it. It's ignoring that fear, not giving in to that fear. You could be panicking in your boots, legs shaking, knees knocking, but still do it. Went to see the Hobbit the other day. Anyone seen the Hobbit? Really enjoyed it. And Bilbo Baggins had to face this dragon called Smaug, or Smaug. Smaug. I won't spoil it for you, but he was shaking in his boots. But he still did it. He still faced the dragon. It was so well played, you know. He was shaking in his big feet. He was shaking in his big furry feet. Oh, I love it. But he still did it. What are the dragons that God wants you to conquer this coming year? What are the giants? You know, they didn't take the land before because they said there's giants in the land. Joshua was one of the ones that saw these giants. We don't know how big these giants were. We're not talking like mythical giants here. We're just talking people who are pretty tall. There were a certain breed of people, and some of them were pretty tall. But that panicked them. Joshua was now facing his giants head on. What are the giants that God wants you to face this coming year? He'll be with you. He'll give you the courage. He'll give you the strength to overcome them and defeat them. Maybe you've tried something in the past and failed. And you think, never again. And God's bringing you back around saying, okay, again. Remember, Joshua had done this once before, and now he was being brought back around by God and saying, okay, a second time, go in, take the land. You can do it. God is with you. Let's look at verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isn't it lovely to know that God is not just by our side, he's inside us. Whatever you go through in this coming year, he's going to be right in the thick of it with you. It may be difficult, but he's not going to let go of your hand. He's not going to forsake you. In the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I can't remember which version of it it was. It might have been Prince Caspian or something. Lucy, is it? The little girl, she had a little dagger. And she walked onto this bridge, and she looked like she was all alone, and the enemy was there, almost like laughing at her. Look at this. This is ridiculous. And then suddenly Aslan appears by her side and roars. And she's not afraid anymore because she knows that Aslan is with her. God is with us. He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. He's far more powerful than anything you can face in this coming year. And he's asking us to take great courage and make steps forward, to make that step of faith and to take over those situations that God is calling us to be in charge of. So that's the second thing, that God encouraged him to take strong courage, good courage, be of good courage. Take his responsibilities, take courage. The third thing and the last thing is this. God's word is so important that God specifically referred to it when he was given this challenge to Joshua. If we have a look a little bit further down, it says this. Verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success." The Bible is so important that God highlighted it to Joshua right at the start of this campaign. And I believe at the start of this year, God would highlight the Bible to us, his word to each one of us, for us to recommit ourselves, to be dedicated to living according to his word, for us to have that same desire for his word, that we are wanting to consume it, apply it to every part of our lives. You know, it was to be all-encompassing for Joshua. If you have a look at some of the things which are mentioned, it mentions about him observing the word. That's the eyes, observing. So that he can do God's word, that's the hands. That he wouldn't turn to the left or right, that's the feet. That his word would not depart from his mouth, that's the mouth. That he would meditate upon it day and night, that's the mind. God was basically highlighting all these different areas and saying, Joshua, I want every part of your body to be affected by my words. I want you to place my word as the foundation in your life. I want you to live according to it. Challenge to us, is the word that important to us? Have we made God's word, the Bible, the foundation of our lives? If we do, he promises us we're going to be prosperous and successful. Not necessarily as the world is prosperous and successful, but in God's eyes we'll be prosperous and successful. You know, the world looks at success and measures success in certain ways, maybe becoming famous, top of the pops. That's me, isn't it? Top of the pops. Yeah, making it to number one in the charts. Maybe one day I will. But the world's success is fleeting. It doesn't last. True success lasts for eternity. And God wants us to be successful in the things which are going to affect our eternal destinies. That we're going to have rewards in heaven for the way that we've lived upon this earth. These are the things which are really important. God's success doesn't leave us with any regrets, but the world's success leaves us with regret. If we want to have success without regret, then we live according to his word, and we will be prosperous. That's the promise that he said to Joshua. Live this way, and you'll be prosperous. You will succeed if you live according to my word. So the word of God, the Bible, what is it? It's got to be the foundation. You know, the word of God literally is the word of God. It's not just the writings of people. Although this book was written by people, it was written by people as God inspired them. It's exactly what he wanted to say to us in the way that he wanted to say it. Yes, it does contain the characteristics of people and their personalities in the way that they wrote, but that's what God wanted all along. What is written here is exactly what God wanted to say to each one of us in the way that he wanted to say. Not only is it the word of God, it's inerrant. That means that in the original manuscripts that this was written in, there weren't errors. There weren't historical inaccuracies. There weren't spelling mistakes and that sort of stuff. It was inerrant. Now, we know that when people write things down and they make manuscripts, sometimes errors do creep in. But those errors are traceable. And there's many, many manuscripts of the Bible where you can trace the errors that have crept in because of scribal errors. But as Christians, we believe that this is the Word of God. It's historically accurate. It's trustworthy. We can lean on it. You know, there's many Christians who are wavering in their belief of the Bible. And we would call that liberalism, being a liberal. It basically means that you don't believe all the Bible to be the Word of God. So some Christians, or so-called Christians, don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in miracles. They don't believe in the miracles they're reading in here. They just can't believe it because they're too scientifically minded to believe it. We need to believe the Word of God and trust the Word of God. And then we'll be successful because this really is the Word of God. It really did happen. It's history. So as a church, we are evangelical. That means we believe the Bible is the word of God and we live according to it. If it's in the Bible, it's the way we should be living. If it's not in the Bible, then it's not worth pursuing. This is enough revelation for us. And this is what we're basing this church on. Yeah, sure, we use spiritual gifts and we move in the power of the Spirit. But everything must be weighed against the Bible. We're pursuing the word of God and not going off on a tangent. You know, there's many cults in the world which started off within Christianity. They started off doing good. They started off believing the Bible. But then weird teaching started to creep in and people started to deviate from the truth of the Bible. And they became cults. And today there's many different cults which don't believe that Jesus is God, that they believe in many different ways of salvation. And even the church today in Wales, in many ways, thinks that for some people, they think there's many different routes to God. I've even heard this in Christian meetings, that there's many different ways to God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's what Jesus said. Now, either he was lying, or he was bad, or he was actually claiming to be the only way to God. I believe that he is the only way to God, and that the Bible is trustworthy. So just as Joshua was challenged about God's word, I believe right at the start of this year, God would challenge us. What is our view of the Bible? Do we believe this is the word of God? If so, are we living like it's the word of God to us? You know, we did a Bible course recently, and one of the illustrations given was this. Imagine that you had a text suddenly appear on your mobile phone now. And it was from God. If that happened to you, you'd be, or if you woke up one morning and God had actually sent you a text, wow, it's a text from God. You'd be so overjoyed. Look, it's a text from God. This is what he said to me. You'd want to show the world. You'd want to do whatever it said because it was a text from God. Well, here, we've got a load of texts all the way from God to planet Earth, and he's saying, this is how I want you to live your lives. This is my words to you. To be honest, God loves us. He loves us enough to write us a love letter. This is his love letter to us, showing us how we can be successful, how we can live according to his ways, how we can please him, how we can know him, how we can get to heaven when we die, but also how we can grow in him. Let's recommit ourselves right at the start of this year to live in according to his word, to putting his word into practice. Let's just look at that passage again. Chapter 1, verse 7. At the end of verse 7, it says, "Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." Verse 8, at the end, it says, "For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success." If we live according to God's word, prosperity and success. The world's looking for what the keys are to success. We've got the key here. We had a reading from the Psalms this morning by David. The book of Psalms opens with Psalm 1, which says, basically, in a nutshell, if you live according to God's word, you're going to be prosperous. If you don't, then you're not. That's what Psalm 1 says in a nutshell. Solomon, the wisest king who ever lived, apart from Jesus, he said this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 to 14. He basically said, the whole point of life is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole point of life. Because God is going to bring into judgment every secret deed, whether good or bad. So we might as well do what God says. We can't get away with anything. We need to live according to his word. Psalm 119 has got 176 verses. We're not going to read all of those now. In fact, we're not going to read any of them now. But if you do at some point, look at Psalm 119. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And for each of those 22 letters, there's 8 lines of verse, starting with the next Hebrew letter. So the letter A has got 8 verses starting with the letter A. The letter B has got 8 verses starting with the letter B. And every single verse, that's 176 verses in total, that's 8 times 22, every single verse mentions the word of God. It either says, uses the word word, or statutes, or commandments, or testimonies, or judgments. It uses a different word for this, the word of God. And basically what it's saying is, I love your word, Lord. Your word is so amazing. It's the foundation of my life. Now we know we can only obey this word by the power of God, by the Spirit of God. He wants us to be filled with his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will teach us how to be pleasing to God. So right at the start of this year, why not? Let's just ask God to fill us with his Spirit. Help us to live according to his word and just make a dedication. Lord, this coming year, help me to read the Bible. Help me to get a right habit of spending time with you. Help me to live not according to the ways of mankind, but according to your word. Let's make a decision right at the start of this year to be courageous and to face some of our fears. Let's make a decision as well to take on responsibility so that God can bless us in different areas. Let's just stand, shall we, as we commit our days to God in 2014. Lord, thank you for the book of Joshua. Thank you for Joshua himself, Lord, that he was someone who wanted to do your will. He was someone who's prepared to take on new levels of responsibility that must have been so scary at the time. But Lord, thank you that he did it. And thank you, Jesus, that he succeeded in what he did. Lord, we pray this year that we would be successful in all the different exploits that you're calling us to, both as individuals and as your church. Lord, we want to stay right at the start of this year, Lord, that we will take on responsibilities in the areas that you're calling us to. Help us not to neglect responsibilities we already have, Lord. Help us to see our key responsibilities in life, both within your church and within our families, in our daily lives, Lord. Help us not to be fearful of responsibility, but to know that you're with us. Lord, help us to attack some of those fears in this coming year. Lord, we just want to bring to you our fears, the things which make us shake in terms of being obedient to you. Lord, we pray for courage for each one of us. Lord, I pray right now that you'd come, Holy Spirit, and fill each life here, Lord, that you'd make us courageous to make bold decisions in you, Lord. And Lord, we pray for that last aspect, Lord, your word. We want your word to be so important in our lives, to be the foundation, Lord. Lord, come and fill us, Holy Spirit. Teach us, Holy Spirit, what it is to obey Jesus. Teach us, Lord, to not just read the word and have our ears tickled by it, Lord, but help us to live by your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the living word. Lord, help us this coming year, Lord, we pray. Thank you that you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. You're going to be with us in everything that we go through this coming year. And we just want to glorify your name and praise you. Amen. Well, let's dedicate our lives to Jesus this year. We're going to...